الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَةِ فَكُّ رَقَبَةٍ أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَةٍ يتيماً ذا مقربة أو مسكيناً ذا متربة ثم كان من الذين آمنوا وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة أولئك أصحاب الميمنة والذين كفروا بآياتنا هم أصحاب المشأمة عليهم نار مؤصدة. We begin by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salutations upon the greatest of all, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once again we remind ourselves that it is through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us that we have been blessed with the honor of listening to the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran. To continue, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now goes in the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to list some blessings that Allah has bestowed upon us. And again, the blessings should be a means of us turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by contemplating upon these blessings. By the wonder and the amazement of these blessings, we should understand from the amazingness and the wonder of these blessings that there has got to be one creator behind the creation and such intricacies of these blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then goes on and says, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, that we guided, that we showed him the two ways. We showed him the two ways. In another place in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. So also, similarly in Surah Al-Shams, previously we mentioned where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Again, this similar verse here where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us the good way and the bad way. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuing with the surah and saying that first, I gave you blessings, I gave you signs, after that I gave you a prophet who showed you the two paths. Along with this, the Qur'an, putting all of these things together, what should have happened is we should have turned to Allah, we should have done good deeds, and we should have understood the right from the wrong. Before moving on, according to one tafsir, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, the two paths refer to a child that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, without any human intervention, gave the knowledge to the child that he has to seek his diet, and he has to seek his food from the breasts of his mother. So some ulama have said وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ refers to the breasts of his mother, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from such a young, newborn baby, the child already knows that this is where I will get my sustenance from. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala a'lam. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَقْتَحَمَ الْعَقَبَ. So why did he not storm into or make his way into the steep course? There are a few words here. Firstly, the word اقتحم, اقتحم, يقتحم, اقتحاما, in Arabic means to storm into something, to break into something, to rush into something. Aqaba can have a few meanings. One meaning of Aqaba is a hillock. That's why you have the Bay'at Aqaba. You know, in the when we learn the tafsir, inshallah, when we learn the seerah, like tomorrow, there's the seerah program. Inshallah, we'll, probably this will be mentioned, that the when the people of Medina first came to Makkah and they met with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this was known as Bay'at Aqaba. And the reason why is because it took place on a hillock. So Aqaba means hillock. So one meaning is of Al-Aqaba is hillock. Another meaning of Al-Aqaba is a mountain, the mountain path between two mountains, like a valley. So it has a few meanings, Al-Aqaba. So why did he not make his way through the steep course? Qadi Sanawullah Rahimullah writes that the actual verse is Hallaqtaham Al-Aqaba. Why did he not? Why did he not make his way through the steep course? According to Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi and Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, Al-Aqaba refers to a mountain of Jahannam, while Kab al-Ahbar says that it refers to the 70 stages of Jahannam. So there are various opinions with regards to this. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi writes that both meanings, we can take good meanings from this. The first meaning is of hillock, and the second meaning is a pathway between two mountains. Hazrat Mufti Sahib writes that if you look at these two things, both these things can be beneficial in defending oneself against one's enemy. So for example, when an army are being attacked or a tribe are being attacked, they can go onto a high place and they can send their archers there and they can see far and wide, and they are able to see that the enemy are coming. So they send lookouts there, you know, in the Battle of Uhud, they send archers onto a hillock. Yeah? And mountain paths, they can, if they are being attacked and they are surrounded by mountains, they can hide in the mountain paths. And when the enemy comes, they can, you know, attack them from top, throw arrows down into the valley like this. So both of these things can be beneficial for a person defending himself against the enemy, just like this, doing this, اقتحام الأقبة. It means to carry out one's obligations. Yeah? So just like this, carrying out one's obligations and performing good deeds can defend us against our mortal enemy. And the mortal enemy is Shaitan. So, like this, now what happens is, in the next few verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what does he mean by Al-Aqaba. One other tafsir uses the same meaning of mountain pass. And the interpretation is to tread the path of fulfilling your obligations and staying away from the restriction. Just like when you go down a mountain path, you're very careful that you don't slip, you don't hurt yourself. So when we are traveling the path of life, we are also very careful that we stay away from the bad, just like you stay away from the slippery areas, the dangerous areas, and you stay on the good side. Just like this, we live our life, we stay on the good, and we keep ourselves, protect ourselves from the bad, and we make our way through this mountain pass. The verse itself can be connected with the previous verses in a few ways. Firstly, we mentioned before, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created mankind with challenges. So this is also related to challenges when a person is going through a mountain pass. So this ayah says that, why did he not, or he did not, you know, do this? He did not pass this test of passing through the mountain pass. And another way of connecting it is we have the previous verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was an indication that we need to turn our attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, this person did not do this. Just like it's difficult to go through a mountain pass, it's very difficult for us to stay away from sin. Yeah, why? Because whenever our nafs is constantly pulling us, our desires are constantly pulling us towards sin. Look, typical example at the time of Fajr. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us to salah. Our nafs is saying, carry on sleeping. Our shaitan is saying, oh, you're enjoying your sleep. Shaitan's trying to pull us back to sleep again. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle getting, it's very difficult at the time of Fajr to remove the, you know, the duvet and to get out of bed when you're enjoying such sleep, and then to go and, you know, do wudu, put your clothes on, go to the masjid. It's very difficult. Likewise, you're going down the street and, or you're on your phone and you see what happens, a woman comes on the screen. So to quickly switch it off or to quickly look away from that woman is very difficult, because our desires are saying, have a look, have another look, you'll enjoy it. But then our taqwa, our love for Allah is saying, no, move away. So this battle, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to pass these tests and overcome the attraction and the pull of our nafs and our desires. Other mufassireen have described Al-Aqaba as a bridge over Jahannam. This has been mentioned in the ahwal and the conditions of the day of Qiyamah as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْعَقَبَ. And what do you know, what this steep course is? Hadith Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah makes an important point that wherever in the Qur'an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ, over there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't give the answer to what the question is. Whereas whenever Allah says, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain what that is like. For example, Al-Qari'ah, Man Qari'ah, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَنْ قَارِعَ, يَوْمَ يَكُونُ النَّاسِ, Al-Haqqa, Mal-Haqqa, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَلْحَاقَ, كَذَّبَتْ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to explain what this is. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and what do you know, what is Al-Aqaba? And then now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes some actions that we should do. Yeah, some actions that we should do to carry out the commandment of Allah that has been, the message, this whole surah, it has been commanding us to do good and stay away from bad. So what is this? What are the actions that we should do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَكُّ رَقَبَ, to free a slave. فَكُّ رَقَبَ is, it is the freeing of a slave. Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimahullah also writes that including this is also when a person is in debt, to help a person, either if he owes you money, to forgive this person, or to give him muhla, to give him time, that it's okay, you don't have to pay him back straight away. Or if a person is in debt to someone else and you see he's struggling, then to say, you know what, I've got a little bit of money, I'll help you, I'll give you some money, don't worry, you don't have to pay me back. Yeah? So Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimullah writes, this is also part of freeing a slave. The reason why this freeing of a slave is one of the greatest deeds a person can do. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala freed many, many of the very early Sahabas of Islam. Yeah? There are many ahadith in the books of hadith with regards to the virtues of freeing a slave. When we look at all of them, there is one common message. And the message is that a person who frees a slave, in exchange for the body parts of the slave that he has freed, Allah will free his body from the fire of Jahannam. So in exchange for the head of the slave, Allah will free his head, and likewise the entire body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has promised, that if a person frees a slave, then his body and he will also be free from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who are free eternally from the fire of Jahannam. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ فِي يَوْمٍ ذِي مَسْغَبَ, أَوْ إِطْعَامٌ, to feeding someone. فِي يَوْمٍ, in such a day, ذِي مَسْغَبَ, which is a day of hunger, a day of hunger for that person. Yeah. So, obviously we know that feeding someone is a very virtuous deed. But in this, there's one extra message we learn from this verse. And the message is that certain times, it's more virtuous to feed a person. For example, there's a person and he's ate, he's full, he's had his food, and you say to him, that, okay, come and join me for food. And he says, okay, fine, and he eats with you. There's virtue in that, you get a reward for that. But is there a person who's starving? He doesn't have food, and he doesn't have any means of acquiring any food. And then we say to him, we take mercy, have mercy on him, and we say to him, come and join me for food. Yeah? Then what happens? Then this is more virtuous, because feeding a hungry person in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fi yawmin dhi masghaba, on a hungry day. Yateeman dha maqraba. Oh, yateem, an orphan. Dha maqraba. Again, another message here. Yateeman dha maqraba means an orphan, dha maqraba of kin, who is part of your family. So, to feed an orphan, this is a very virtuous deed in itself. Okay? However, to feed an orphan who is also your family member, you will get double reward. We look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Ahmad rahimullah has brought this in his Musnad on the authority of Salman ibn Amir radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He says, Samitu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, As-sadaqatu ala miskinin sadaqatun. Spending charity upon a needy person is charity. وَعَلَى ذِي الرَّحْمِ إِثْنَتَانِ, or in other narrations it says ثِنْتَانِ. And a person of family, you get double reward. صَدَقَةٌ وَصِلَةٌ. One reward for charity and one reward for upholding family ties. So it's more virtuous to feed someone in your own family who is poor, needy, hungry than to feed other people. Sometimes we have in some traditions, here you have brothers, sisters, siblings. One brother is very rich, the other brother is poor. And the brother who is rich, he spends on other people, he feeds other people, and he gives them money, helps them out. But his own brother, he won't help him. Why? Because for whatever reason. Yeah, it's more virtuous to help your own family member who is needy than to help someone else. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Again, under this verse, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani rahimullah writes that these are the places where we should spend our money. Yeah, on poor people, on orphans, on the needy, on your family members who are in need. Nowadays, Allama Shabir Ahmad Usmani writes, rahimullah, that nowadays what happens? We see people who have loads of money, what do? They waste their money on weddings. Big weddings in which the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking place. This money that he is spending, he could have spent it on an orphan child. He could have spent it on a poor person. He would have incited the happiness and the mercy and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead, he spent it on weddings, wasting copious amounts of money. And often in these weddings where so much money is spent, the disobedience of Allah is taking place. Mixed weddings. Yeah, it becomes a thing now. Sometime before, it used to be separate halls, or there used to be, you know, one building, but the men eat separate, the women eat separate. Nowadays, what happens is, men on one side, women on the other side. Okay, fine, but can you not see each other? There's no segregation taking place. So this is the disobedience. اختلاط بين النساء والرجال. Yeah, it's a very, very slippery path that we are walking on. Wallahi, imagine the wedding in which the disobedience of Allah is taking place. Then we complain about divorce. Then we complain that, oh, I don't have happiness in my marriage. And then we complain that, you know, there's no barakah, I'm not happy. My wife, she doesn't look after me. The wife's complaining about the husband. But look at your wedding. There's disobedience of Allah taking place. How are you supposed to have Allah helping you when you angered Allah? You anger Allah and then you expect to be, then you go to ta'weez, you go to Mufti Sahib for ta'weez. Wallahi, this is haram. We have to be considerate of the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what if people say that you're backdated? Yeah? Recently, Hazrat Mahfazul Rahman Sabah Azmi, Damat Barakatum, great Mufti Sahib and Shaykh al-Hadith from South Africa, he came. He said this in one of the gatherings. He said, I'll tell you very clearly, I'm a rich person. And he is rich, he has many, many properties and things. He said, I'm a very rich person and I have 13 children. 7 daughters and 6 sons, or vice versa. And he said, I got all of my daughters married. In every wedding, I just said to my son-in-law that come to the house and pick your wife up and take her home. He said that, so what? He goes, you know, my nose wasn't cut before, neither during nor after. I am as I am. Every year I go for Hajj, I travel all around the world, I spend my money on good things. I don't care what people say. And this is coming from a rich person. So why do we have to worry about, oh, what, you know, George said from down the road about my wedding? Wallahi, it doesn't matter. People forget the weddings. People don't remember. Do you hear people talking about, oh, you know, your wedding? My wedding was bigger than your wedding 10 years ago. People forget. People don't even remember what the food was on the wedding. So why should we spend so much money to make people happy? When, what are we actually doing? We might be making people happy temporarily for a few moments of a day. But we are asking for the eternal wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do tawbah and give us the tawfiq to make our weddings in conformity with the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "O miskeenan dha matraba," or a needy person, dha matraba, turab, it comes from the word turab. Matraba means a person who has dust all over him. Like we see homeless people, you know, they sit on the streets. Because they're sitting on the streets, they're either wet because of the rain or they've got mud on them. You know, in the sandy, dusty countries, they'll have dust all over them. So why did feeding a person who is needy, who is covered in dust? Like Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu ta'ala, who says that the first thing I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, "Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam wa at'imu ta'am." Spread salam and feed people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ كَانَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْمَرْحَمَةِ. Then he's carrying on, فَلَقْتَهَمَ الْأَقْبَرَ. So he did not be from the people who bought iman and advised one another. تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. He advised one another of patience, and they advised one another of having mercy. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning all of these good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the most important deed, and that is to be a mu'min. Why? Because without iman, all of these deeds, you can do them all your life, but they're going to be of no avail and no reward in the akhirah. Why? Because you don't have the passport, and the passport is iman. A person who has iman will be rewarded for these actions. A person that does not have iman, he will not be rewarded with these actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this at the end. Another teaching of this verse is that a person, a mu'min, the quality of a mu'min is that he doesn't just worry about himself, that, you know what, as long as I'm safe, I'm good, I sit in a masjid, I pray my salah. He says that they advise one another to be patient and advise one another to be merciful. So the quality of a mu'min is that not only does he worry about himself, he worries about the entire ummah. Yeah, this is one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ, and remind one another. فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, for reminders benefit one another. I remember in one bayan, Hazrat Mullah Ismail Raja Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, mentioned that once Hazrat Sheikh Maisum Mutala Rahmatullah Ali, he told Malana to bring a doctor because he was having pains. So what happened was the doctor came to Hazrat's house in Blackburn and he looked at him and he inspected him and he said to Hazrat, "The Hazrat, you need to have less stress. You need to relax a bit more." This is the qareeb. I'm just paraphrasing here. But the main message is this: Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali said that how can I rest when every night I can hear the children of Philistine crying? How can I rest when every night I can hear the children of Palestine weeping and crying? This was Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. This was the worry and concern and fikr he had for the ummah. Yeah, in the early days of the Shaykh Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahimahullah, he congratulated Hazrat Abdullah Ali on his worry for the ummah. In a letter, he writes that ye bahut mubarak cheez hai, that you have worry for the ummah is a very blessed thing that you have. Keep it up. Yeah, it's a sign of a mu'min to worry for, not just worrying about ourselves. Look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His entire life was worrying about us, worrying about ummati. Yeah. Rasulullah worried about us. We should also worry about the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. And then mentioning sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned sabr. What is this having patience upon? So we mentioned earlier with regards to the struggle it is to fight our desires. This struggle is having patience. patience upon the pull of our desire. It's so hard for us not to sin, to have patience upon not sinning. And having mercy on one another. You know, we hear the famous hadith, the hadith which is known as Al-Musalsal Bil-Awwaliyya, or Hadith Al-Rahmah, where it's the first hadith that the teacher of hadith, he narrates to his students, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ar-Rahimun Yarhamuhum Ar-Rahman, the people of mercy, the people who have mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rahman will have mercy on him. Irhamu man fil ard, have mercy on the people of the dwellers of the earth, Yarhamukum man fil sama, and the people of the earth and the heavens, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have mercy on you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ulaika ashabul maymana, these are the people of the right hand. Who are the people of the right hand? The people of the right hand are the people who will be situated on the right side of the arsh on the day of Qiyamah. Those are the people who will receive the book in their right hands. Those are the people of Jannah. Now, in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has just mentioned very generically, وَلَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْمَيْمَنَةِ. However, if you want to look a little bit more, use a few more minutes, inshallah, in Surah Al-Waqi'ah, there's a very beautiful description of the people of Maymana, the people of the right hand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Those are the ones who will be blessed with proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fi jannatin na'im, in gardens of bliss. Yeah, then moving on a few more verses down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ala sururin mawduna, they will be sitting on thrones woven with gold. Mutaki'in alayha mutaqabilin, they will be reclining on them, mutaqabilin, facing one another. Yatufu alayhim wildanum mukhalladun, yeah, there will be boys, yeah, who will be young immortally. They will be walking amongst them. بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقٍ, with bowls and jugs. وَكَأْسٍ مِّن مَعِينٍ, and goblets of pure wine. What kind of wine? In the dunya, we have the wine that intoxicates you. It destroys you. Yeah? It destroys your liver. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say with regards to this wine? لَا يُصَدَّعُونَ عَنْهَا وَلَا يُنْزِفُونَ, from which they will neither suffer headache, nor will they be intoxicated. وَفَاكِهَا, and fruits, مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ, of their choice. وَلَحْمِ طَيْرِ, the flesh, the meat of the birds, مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ, that they desire. وَحُورٌ عِينَ, yeah, they will have maidens with gorgeous eyes. These are the women of Jannah. Wallahi, how can we even imagine compromising the women of Jannah for the sake of the haram women in this world? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them with having gorgeous eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the hurun een. كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونَ, they will be like hidden pearls, neat and clean. Yeah, this neat and clean, this is just added in from the mufassirin. They will be like hidden pearls. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, what is this? This is a reward for the actions that the mu'mineen used to do. لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا تَأْثِيمًا, they will neither hear absurd talk. Yeah, لَغْو means useless talk. They will not hear useless talk in Jannah, nor anything that leads to sin. إِلَّا قِيلًا سَلَامًا سَلَامًا, in Jannah, everyone will be happy, everyone will be doing salam to each other, greeting each other, and talking nicely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from Ashabul Maymana. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, whoever disbelieved in بِآيَاتِنَا, in our signs, هُمْ أَصْحَابُ الْمَشْأَمَةِ, they will be the people of the left hand. We don't want to go into this because it's very scary, and we want to be protected from this right now. Inshallah, that will be another time. Who are the people of the left hand? There will be the people who will be situated on the left hand side of the arsh. Those are the people who will have their books, the books of deeds, in their left hand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from being from this group. عَلَيْهِمْ نَارٌ مُؤْصَدَةٌ, upon them will be a fire, مُؤْصَدَةٌ, enveloping them with closed exit, meaning it will be sealed upon them. Once it's sealed, nobody is coming out. They will be in there eternally. So to summarize, in the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the ignorant people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to contemplate on the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by saying, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ. So first, the address, يَقُولُ أَهْلَكْتُ مَالًا لُبَدًا أَيَحْسَبُ. Then, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is highlighting the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. What this should have done, is this should have وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, this should have led us to the right path. But then for some people, they did not choose this path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains, فَلَقْتَهَمَ الْعَقَبَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back and explains, okay, once you're on the right path, what deeds should you do? So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists these deeds. And then finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you had followed the right path, if you had taken our signs as our blessings as a sign, if you had understood them and if you had believed in them, then you would have done these actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lists these actions. What would have happened? You would have not only bought iman, you would not have only worried about yourself, you would have worried about the entire ummah. Tawasaw bis sabri wa tawasaw bil marhama. And if you had done all of this, in the end, what is your result? Ulaika ashabul maymana. And if you did not do all of this, what will be your result? Alayhim narum mu'sada. This is the end of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to be from ashabul maymana, to be from the people that carry out these actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true love and understanding of the Holy Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with his proximity and make us from his close servants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the lovers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with our good ending, a husnul khatima in the city of Madinatul Munawwara, in the suhba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us with the Sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen, 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 ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahabihi ajma'een. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ishhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.